Shall we begin?
Let's begin now.
You're listening to the Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on HoopFeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel, and it's a pleasure to welcome you back to Dishin' and Swishin's weekly podcast on HoopFeed. And even though we're in the middle of the NCAA season, we're going to talk a little WNBA right now. And I am pleased to have as a guest one of the stars and important cogs to the Connecticut Sun, and that is Katie Douglas. Katie, Hall of Famer Katie Douglas, congratulations.
Oh, that sounds so weird. Thank you.
If anybody is unaware, Katie has been elected to the Purdue University Hall of Fame. And, you know, it's got to feel really good to have the alma mater acknowledge all you've done there.
It's definitely a tremendous honor. And I think probably many, many years down the road, I'll probably look back and think it's even more special and more cool than it already is. But it's definitely a great honor and that I'm humbled by and just proud to have been part of that tradition for 4 years.
You know, one of the things that we'll segue right in with that is, you know, there's a lot of celebrations of girls and women in sports going on this week and this weekend. And, you know, you look back in the difference in time from when you were in school and when you were growing up and the way that things are now. And it really is kind of night and day from the opportunities that are out there for girls now.
It's absolutely night and day. I know that when I was growing up, I think the biggest goal and the biggest dream you could have as a little girl was, you know, to play high school varsity and then to get a scholarship, a college scholarship and whatnot. There was no really professional league for women post-collegiately, so it's definitely a different ball game now. Women have the ability post-collegiately not only to get an education at college, but then to also kind of make a niche for themselves and make a career for themselves as a professional athlete. So it's definitely changed since I was growing up, and it's definitely a welcome change. And I look forward to the future and just continue for women to have that many more opportunities in the future.
You know, one of the things that was interesting was, you know, there's been a lot of quotes attributable to you after the whole Diana Taurasi thing and her decision to skip the WNBA season. You made a comment that really kind of was interesting to me that I hadn't really put it into perspective before. You know, you were talking about the fact that there's really only three things that you go overseas for, and that is to stay in shape, you know, to make the money. But then you raised a really interesting point about the fact that if you're going to stay in shape for a WNBA season, you're not going to be able to really get another job in the off season, and that's something that I hadn't really thought of.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you can find an employer that, you know, you can go to and say, hey, I'd love to work for you September until May, and then you have to give me, you know, the entire summer off. Let me know. I'm looking for that employer. So let me know if you can find somebody. I know that there are some unique situations and some employers that, but it's really a rare situation for you to be able to supplement your income and stay here stateside and be able to, you know, trying to find something, you know, post WNBA and post, I guess, professional athlete where you can kind of dive into a career. It's just really hard to find that and to find somebody willing to also accommodate you and for your training. You know, some days, you know, you just think about it. Like for me, when I know I'm training here in the States, I'm dependent upon other people's schedules to train. It's not, you know, so if I have a job in the off season, and I tell my trainer, hey, you know, I can't go until 5 because that's when I get off. Well, you know, they have other clients as well and other responsibilities. And, you know, so you've got to work with other people. So it's just a whole litany of things that kind of go into it where it makes working really, really tough as far as having a job to supplement your time and your income in the off-season for a WNBA athlete.
Yeah, I think people that are critical of, you know, saying, oh, well, they need to take time. They don't have to go overseas. Don't think of things like that. You know, that's such a significant factor. You know, people need to live, and people just don't think about it.
Yeah, it's just a lot of people just think, I don't know. I honestly don't know what people think. I just know the life and, you know, the decisions and the the situation as it is when you're faced, you know, when you play in the summer and then, yeah, you're left with a lot of free time, but you're also expected in 8 months to come into the best, you know, shape and form that you possibly can be for training camp. And having that job and having a career during that time, you know, something, let's say, non-basketball oriented, if you're not overseas and you're in the States trying to find something else, it's just, it's really hard thing to juggle.
And, of course, the other thing is now, you know, you play year-round, the body takes the pounding, and, you know, you've played for so long, you're starting to feel the effects of it. And we've seen with your back over the years, and, you know, we're all hoping for 100%, but that just doesn't seem like it gets realistic anymore, does it?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, like you said, like, I thought I was invincible going overseas every single year and never taking a break. You know, I, like Diana, I played, I think, 11 years consecutively with no break, no half a season. I played only full seasons overseas and then obviously full seasons in WNBA. And, you know, in my younger days, I used to think, you know, this is fine. And everybody was always telling me, you know, you need to take a little bit of a break. You know, it's going to catch up. And, it's, you know, it finally does. I mean, athletes feel like they're invincible, but it's the pounding and the grind definitely, you know, will catch up to you at some point. You know, some are luckier than others and can kind of, you know, shake it off for years. But at some point, you know, playing year-round is going to catch up to you.
You know, and then you get situations, you know, here, you know, you at least have had the good fortune of staying pretty healthy through most of your career. Then you get your teammate, Chinee, you know, goes overseas, you don't know what would have happened elsewhere, of course, but microfracture surgery this young in her career is not something that you want to really look at if you're looking for longevity in your life.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously something that is unavoidable and just, you know, extremely unfortunate for Chinee, first and foremost, and as well, you know, obviously for our franchise. But, you know, you can look at the glass half full or half empty, and I feel like Chinee is going to, you know, put the most positive approach and mentality and effort first. And, you know, I solely trust that she's going to, you know, rehab 150%. And she, you know, being this young in her career, I'm not, you know, a doctor medically, but I know that when things like this happen, when you're younger, you're able to tolerate them and snap back a little bit better than for someone my age. If I was having a microfracture surgery, I think that could be a really devastating thing. But I think that Chinee, that young, will definitely, I know her work ethic will just, you know, soar. But I think also her age is on her side, and having this kind of procedure, I expect her to come back and be not only the same, but a better player.
You know, from Taj to Nikisha to Catch, you've always had the veterans with you. How different was the experience last year being the senior most member of the team and trying to school the youngsters on growing up at WNBA?
Yeah, it was definitely different atmosphere for me last year, but something I embraced and really look forward to going to work every day because, you know, yes, they were young, but they were hungry and they were always so attentive and ready to learn and just ready to get better. And, you know, anytime you have that kind of, you know, attitude and desire, it's a great component. You know, our record didn't indicate it, but I felt like we had so many close games last year that we just, you know, weren't able to win because of, you know, experience. And I feel like those experiences from last year are just going to be used this summer going forward and having those kind of late-game experiences and having that kind of camaraderie that we've already developed a year or a summer ago is going to help us. But it's something that I enjoyed. I enjoyed being around the younger players, you know, just trying to set an example every day and set a tone for them. It's, like you said, it's a different role because I've always had or played on a lot of teams that had a lot of veterans with just a sprinkle of youth. So it was definitely kind of a role reversal, but it's something that I honestly embrace, and I really look forward to working with them each and every day.
Well, that said, I'm sure you're not too upset to see Camille Little joining the team too. Another person that has got some championship pedigree that has been through a little bit, at least some of the wars.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I said that the other day talking to the management here. It's just, you know, I think that they did a great job in that trade. You know, I know that personally I'll miss Renee. She's a good friend, a good teammate. But I think that we needed to add, you know, with Chimay's absence, we needed to add some quality depth and some experience down low. And, you know, Kelsey Bone had a tremendous second season in her young career, but we needed to add some experience. I think Camille Little definitely solidifies us at that spot in that hole that Chimay, you know, and I don't think Camille is expected to come in and do the things that Chimay did last year for us, but I know that she's a, you know, quality veteran post presence, and she'll be, you know, lead for the post players because I'm a guard, and so when, you know, we broke up a lot in guard post breakdowns, a lot of practice, and, you know, I can't, you know, be down there to help the post players, so it'll be definitely nice to have Camille down there leading by example and then by voice as well.
Now, the Sun, of course, has their own group of fans, and Connecticut fans for the Sun are great. I got to ask, what is the pressure difference that you guys feel being in Connecticut with the UConn fans versus the Connecticut fans, as opposed to like when you were in Indiana and it was basically they were all Fever fans? I mean, I'd never seen anything like the people saying that, you know, the team is trying to get rid of UConn players by trading Renee. I mean, you hear this kind of stuff here. As a player, you know, do you ever just want to stand up and say, you know, hey, how about us? You know, we're here to win on our own.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things I think players would like to see, but you know, we're better served not saying them. I just feel that you know, it is a unique situation here, and with UConn just having such a dominant presence here in the state and having just such a championship tradition here, you know, obviously our Sun fans are, I'm sure, big supporters of UConn. So it's, you know, it is what it is, to be honest. It's not something that, like you said, you see in other franchises, but it's just a unique thing. We love our fans. We want to win as much as they do. So that's bottom line. You know, everybody wants to win. You know, no one wants to lose. And I know that we work hard each and every day in practice and in the game. We bottom line want to bring a championship so much to our franchise, to our fans. So I mean, I understand that there's obviously a huge tradition and just championships year after year with UConn, and we want nothing but the same. We want to be able to build that kind of organization and franchise and to have that kind of tradition.
Going to seem weird looking across and seeing Stephanie White as head coach?
You know, not really. I mean, Steph has kind of been transitioning for that role for several years, and I think my last year, you know, she was every year kind of getting more and more responsibility from Lynn. And they were definitely grooming her as Lynn knew that, you know, she was going to step down. And so I think that it's going to be natural for Steph and natural for me to kind of see that because, like I said, she's been given the reins kind of last year and the year before and kind of trying to ease her way into that position. And I know she'll be great. She was great as an assistant, but then when she – like I said, they've been kind of giving her more and more responsibility to just see that she was going to be great as a head coach, and I know she'll do great in Indiana.
But she's a head coach now. Doesn't that make her old?
Yeah, it does. I always tell her how much older she is to me, so it absolutely makes her old.
Last thing I just want to ask. Already you're seeing teams making moves. New York brings in some new players. You know, Phoenix obviously had to make some moves. You know, you guys, you know, already made the trade. It's going to be a fun season, it's looking like. It's certainly been an interesting off season already.
Yeah, and I think that's exciting. It's exciting for the fans. It's exciting for the league to have that kind of movement. You know, in years past, it's kind of sometimes been extremely dull and boring. And I think that it's exciting when players have the ability to kind of move around and teams also have the ability to move players around, so I think it just adds just an interest leading up to the season and an excitement factor for the season, and I'm sure that there's many, many more moves that are going to happen prior to the season, so I look forward to it. I look forward to see what else we're going to do and what else we're going to add and, you know, just be ready to go.
Well, Katie, take good luck in the off season with the rest of the time with your back. Congratulations again on becoming a Hall of Famer, and you know, we're looking forward to seeing you back on the court here in Connecticut pretty soon.
All right. right, sounds good. Thanks so much for having me.